Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Here's the pitch. A drive to right field, and Brian Reynolds anchored down. A bomb to right field, a three-run shot, his third. And the new Papa is two for two. And he just gave the Pirates the lead with that three-run shot over the Clemente wall. It's 4-2 Pittsburgh.
Yep, Greg Brown on the call, the Pirates Radio Network, and right here at 93.7 The Fan, flagship home of the Pittsburgh Pirates. Brian Reynolds hitting a three-run homer. Fresh off of the paternity list and giving the Pirates a 6-2 win yesterday. And with that, I welcome you in to the early morning show right here on a Friday morning. I'm Matt Cole with you to about 5:40 before the Fan morning show pre-show. As always, Brian Reynolds hits that home run yesterday as the Pirates beat the Cubs 6-2 in some day baseball. Extra significant because on Monday, Reynolds' wife, Blair, gave birth to the couple's first child, Reese. So that was the easy storyline to roll with to encapsulate the game, that Reynolds tapping into his dad's strength, as Adam Berry put it from MLB.com, for his home run. And I'm going to start the show today in a little bit of a different way, because seeing that happen yesterday reminded me of something and someone in Pirates history. And because even though they did win yesterday, I can't. It's a Friday, and I just can't bring myself to talk about this team in any other way today. I mean, they won yesterday. I give them credit. 6-2 win over the Cubs. Still 11-24 and not doing so well this year. So let me remind you of someone. I'll put you in the way back machine. And maybe your mind went here yesterday as well, watching that. 16 years ago, a man whose last name was perpetually botched by video game announcers for his entire career, as I can remember. Third baseman slash center fielder. When do you ever see that in today's baseball? Well, I guess you do more so now because guys play positions everywhere nowadays. But the combination of being a third baseman and a center fielder is still unique. Rob Mikowiak. Mikowiak was a very interesting Pirate. He had a very interesting Pirates career where he would show flashes of brilliance. Yet, like many players in this day in Bucco's history, in that era, lacked consistency. Would just drive you nuts. He played with names like Darryl Ward, Ty Wigginton, Jose Castillo, rest in peace, by the way, and Craig Wilson, and my personal idol growing up, and I don't know if that's a sad thing, but Jack Wilson. And heck, even Randall Simon and Abraham Nunez were part of a relatively innocuous 2004 Pirates team that won 72 games. They were right smack dab in the middle of what would end up being the longest string of losing seasons in North American sports history. But on May 28th, 2004, Rob Mikowiak had one of the best days a baseball man can have. And I feel confident in saying that. Not only, you know, a baseball man, but just a man in general. One of the best days a guy can have. One that left him saying, quote, "It's just hard to imagine ever having a better day than this." It was a Friday. Earlier that day, his wife, Jennifer, gave birth to their first son, Garrett. So it was even a bigger moment than what Brian Reynolds, I guess, had yesterday, where it was the same day he was a new father. Pirates had a doubleheader against the Cubs. Top of the eighth of the first game, with two outs and the Pirates holding a 4-1 lead. The Pirates did what the Pirates did back then, and what we see them do a lot now. They gave up that lead as Chicago catcher Michael Barrett stepped up to the plate with the bases loaded as a pinch hitter and hits a grand slam to make it 5-4 Cubs. So then we fast forward to the bottom of the ninth. The Pirates have already tied the game back up at 5. The bases are loaded, two outs, and who steps up to the plate but Rob Mikoviak.
0-4, the pitch. Swinging drive to right, very well hit, way back, mock whack, tolly whack, give that dog a bone, grand slam. Hey, how about that, Garrett Mikoviak? Your dad just hit a game-winning grand slam. Unbelievable day for Rob Mikoviak. A proud new papa, and he hits a grand slam to win it. Raise the Jolly Roger. The Pirates have come back to beat the Chicago Cubs in game one of a doubleheader. Holy smoke, what a game.
How about that? Greg Brown from back in 2004 on the TV call after Mikoviak hits that grand slam to win the game. And he wasn't done there. In the nightcap, he hit a two-run homer as well to tie it in the ninth inning, before a game-winning home run by Craig Wilson in the 10th gave the Pirates a 5-4 victory and the doubleheader sweep over the Chicago Cubs. And so that was what I thought of yesterday after seeing Brian Reynolds' homer the day after he gets back from having his first child, is that day for Rob Mikoviak. So cheers to you, Mikoviak, who was always named Mikowiak in all those video games growing up. You provided some happiness in those dark days of Bucco baseball, and it's something that we can remember fondly here as we're in the midst of a 11-24 season for the Pirates right now. So let me switch gears a little bit before I wrap up this first segment. Jacksonville continued its roster purge yesterday, and I'm talking about the Jaguars, going to go all the way to the football now. They traded away another starter. This time it was Ronnie Harrison, the safety to the Browns, for I think a fifth-round pick. Obviously, it goes much beyond just the safety. They've been doing this over the past year or so, starting with Jalen Ramsey, you know, Yannick Ngakoue gone now. He was traded big-time, a pass rusher. And we know Leonard Fournette was flat-out released earlier this week. And there's some news on him in Tampa Bay that I'll get to here in a couple minutes. But it made me think, like, what are the Jaguars up to here? Is there such a thing as tanking and rebuilding in football? Can you have the same process in which the Pirates are most likely, well, going through and going to have to go through here over the next few years, where if it's a build or a rebuild, whatever it is, they're building up within the organization and they've got to essentially strip it down? Can you strip down a roster and build it back up via the draft and maybe a couple free agent signings like in baseball or hockey? Go total youth movement, and that's the way you get back into things. And with Jacksonville, I think there are reports that they're just, you know, cleaning house, mostly because they had some character issues and they want to kind of hit the reset button that way. And I understand that. That's probably more of what their motivation is. And all those top draft picks have been wasted. They've gotten rid of them. Or they, you know, just never even worked out. Guys like Justin Blackmon, the receiver from Oklahoma State, who never made anything of his NFL career. And Leonard Fournette was a fourth overall pick in the first round. In football, though, and answering that original question of can you tank and rebuild, it all comes back to the most important position in sports. If you don't have a quarterback, you're just not going anywhere. You can build up around them, can do whatever you want to do there. You can, you know, spend a lot of draft capital on defense and trying to build up that defensive line, because that's a lot of what the NFL is now today too, and getting after the quarterback. You can beef up your offensive line. You can even beef up the weapons around them. But if you don't have that quarterback, it's a non-starter. For Jacksonville, is Gardner Minshew anything? I don't know. But you got to figure out that first. And so I don't know if that's the plan for Jacksonville to completely tank and go after Trevor Lawrence. You know, maybe that's what they're trying to do here. But if they don't get him, and if they somehow win too many games along the way and don't get Trevor Lawrence, then it's going to be a much, much longer process than I think they even realize they're getting themselves into. All right, coming up next, there was some great action in the playoffs, both in the NBA and the NHL last night, and sets up for some really intriguing headlines going over the next couple days and into the weekend. And there is a lot of NFL news as well to get to from yesterday. So I'll go over all of that. And then to end the show today, CBS Sports said something very interesting about the Steelers heading into 2020 and comparing them to other teams around the league. And what have we learned? Have we learned anything new about this team as training camp wraps up from Heinz Field this week? That's all next. It's the Early Morning Show right here on 93.7 The Fan. The time is 5:17 on this Friday morning, and it's brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. If you're up this early, you may have missed some things from later on last night. Let's get to them.
Time now for While Yins Was Sleeping on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.
All right, let's go to the hockey action, and unfortunately, they just won't die. Philadelphia Flyers still hanging around. They won Game 6 last night over the Islanders in double overtime. 15 minutes into the double overtime, Ivan Provorov scores for the Flyers for the 5-4 victory, and they're moving on to a Game 7, and that'll be on Saturday at some point. I'm not sure what exactly the game time is on that. I could probably scroll down here. That's at 7:30. On NBC if you're interested in that. And also there will be a Game 7 in the Western Conference, as well as the Vancouver Canucks have come storming back in that series, down 3-1, have won the last two games and beat the Vegas Golden Knights 4-0 last night. And here's a little bit of how that sounded on Sportsnet.
Stanley Cup playoff victory two nights ago, 48 stops for his first Stanley Cup playoff shutout. Game 7 tomorrow night here in Edmonton.
Yeah, it's after Thatcher Demko made 48 saves for Vancouver. And again, that Game 7 will be tomorrow night, as you heard, at 9 o'clock. Actually, tonight. That was a call from last night, obviously. So tonight at 9 o'clock is that Game 7 between Vancouver and Vegas. And the big question is now, who's in net for the Golden Knights? Robin Leonard was in net last night and was bad. Gave up those four goals. Just didn't look very sharp at all. So now Marc-Andre Fleury is waiting in the wings, waiting to be a hero for Vegas. And I would be surprised if he doesn't get the start in Game 7. Considering all his playoff experience, he's been, you know, of course, in and out of the net throughout these playoffs. I would certainly go with Fleury in that situation, but we'll see what Vegas ends up doing and how that Game 7 shakes out for them. In the NFL, plenty of news from yesterday. What was, I think, expected, at least for me, New England named Cam Newton not only the starting quarterback for their squad in 2020, but also a captain. And I really do think that Cam Newton's got a lot left in him. And I think he's going to be, you know, not MVP-level Cam, but he'll be good enough for the New England Patriots to win 10 games or so, 9 games, and be in the wild card mix. I don't expect anything different from New England this year. And that way, I guess. And it's still being a playoff team. Also, the Seattle Seahawks re-signed Josh Gordon. He's still sticking around. That was according to his agent, David Cantor, on Twitter yesterday. Gordon remains indefinitely suspended by the NFL, but the Seattle Seahawks are still bringing him back. They claimed him off waivers last November whenever the Patriots cut him, and he never really did anything for them, but they're still willing to give him a chance. And that, to me, when I see that, my mind automatically goes to, of course, Antonio Brown. he's going to get his shot. We know that he's going to be suspended for the first 8 games, but at least you know how long he's going to be out. And if Josh Gordon can keep coming back, Gordon, who hasn't really done anything in the NFL over the past like 3 years now, and has had so many off-the-field issues. If he can continue to get a shot in the NFL, Antonio Brown is going to land somewhere at some point this year. Just hopefully it's not out in Baltimore. Also, Jadeveon Clowney, if I can slow down for a second here, will also be signed by the Tennessee Titans or the Seattle Seahawks. So the Seahawks are really getting busy here at the end of the offseason. And they might be lining up Jadeveon Clowney. I don't even know how good he really is or how much of an impact he really makes. But could add on to what should be a playoff team in Tennessee. And then finally from yesterday, Bruce Arians talking about his newly acquired running back and Leonard Fournette says that Ronald Jones is still the starter in his offense and called Fournette a heck of an insurance policy. Said, quote, it's his job. Nothing has changed for him. It's his job, and he's got it, and he's got to screw it up to lose it, and I don't see that happening. Okay, we'll see how long that lasts with Ronald Jones being the starter out in Tampa Bay and Leonard Fournette just riding the pine. Eventually, that's got to flip-flop along the way, because as much as people kind of downplayed Fournette whenever he was on the free agent market saying, you know, making all these excuses as to why teams aren't going after him and maybe why the Steelers aren't going to take a look at him. He's a 2-time 1,000-yard rusher, and the guy can play. So he'll eventually be a starter in Tampa Bay, at least eventually, if not right away. All right, coming up next, CBS Sports ranked NFL teams, and they tend to do this from time to time, but the Steelers were atop a certain list. And I'll go over that for the 2020 season. Plus, what have we learned as they wrap up training camp from Heinz Field? Have we learned anything new about this team? That's all next. :28 on a Friday morning. It is the early morning show here for a few more minutes before the Fan Morning Show pre-show at 5:40. Colin Dunlap along the way alongside Jim Colony, Chris Mack with the day off today to end the week. And then we'll all be back on Tuesday. I believe we all have off on Monday. Jim might not, but I know Colin, Chris, and I have off on Monday. But just Colin and Jim today on a Friday edition of the Fan Morning Show, and they'll be joined by Michael McHenry the Fort at 9 o'clock today to talk some Buccos and to help to wrap up the week. And so that's at 9 o'clock today on the Fan Morning Show. CBS Sports, a lot of the times they rank things, and this time it is a topic that has been brought up, I think, multiple times here in this offseason of how much different this season is going to look because of the COVID nonsense that we've had to deal with so far and not having a preseason and just the different changes that are going on with each football team. And so continuity is a word that's being thrown around a lot of which team is going to be able to handle this adversity the best. And oftentimes, the Steelers have been mentioned as a team that can handle that very well. Well, CBS Sports quantified valuable relationships on both sides of the ball in addition to rewarding coaches for longevity in their continuity rankings. This is a thing that they've done. Starting lineups from last season were compared to projections from the 2020 campaign. Teams receive points, so they have this entire point system for returning players, and even more points for longevity up to 3 years plus of being involved with the team, having the same core group there. And so it goes through, you know, all of the point systems, basically, that they go through, the offense and the defense, broken into the front seven, the quarterbacks, you know, the quarterback receiver relationship, quarterback tight end relationship. I mean, they've got pretty much everything covered. And they come out with a hard number for these teams. And they say teams with elite continuity. So they've broken up into a tier of the top four teams. At number four with an 85, it's the 49ers. At number 3 with an 88 is the Eagles. Number 2 with an 89, the Saints. Number 1 with a 90, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they say the Steelers are introducing one new starter on offense and one new starter on defense. Most of their returning players have been on the roster for at least 3 years. Pittsburgh has received a lot of attention as a team that could bounce back with a healthy Ben Roethlisberger. Continuity supports that argument. So there you go from yet another source saying that, you know, if any team is going to handle this abnormal season well, it's the Steelers, because they're a first-class organization and because they've had, you know, a lot of people there for a lot of years, and they keep things structured. And more proof of that. And I wonder, you know, I don't know how much that's really going to factor into wins for the 2020 season. I mean, hopefully it does. Can't hurt, right, that you've got that much stability coming into the year. But they're wrapping up training camp from Heinz Field this week. And as we look back on it, and at this point, we would normally know a lot of things about the team, right? We would have seen them, I think, 4 times. They would have played all 4 games by this point in the preseason. And we would have seen plenty of game action for especially a lot of the guys that are further down the roster. Maybe we see the starters, you know, for the whole 2 series that they play in the preseason. But normally we know a good bit about how the team is going to shape up, which guys are going to make the cut, and where they line up. And we've got some camp darlings and some preseason darlings along the way, but we haven't seen a whole lot of them. I mean, there's been some streams on the internet from their practices at Heinz Field, but other than that, that's it. Have we learned anything about this team as training camp wraps up? And that's my question. And I think for me, there's a few things that stick out. One is that Anthony McFarland and the rookies have impressed. But we just don't know how that'll translate to games. We've heard everybody say it, from beat reporters to Kevin Colbert when he joined the Fan Morning Show on Wednesday, saying that, you know, guys like Anthony McFarland and Chase Claypool and Alex Highsmith have done nothing but good things at practices, where they've shown, as Mike Tomlin said, that they belong. And McFarland has shown off his speed, Chase Claypool going up to get some passes, especially in the red zone. That's where he'll be used this year. And Alex Highsmith has not looked overwhelmed as a new defensive player, which can oftentimes happen when they come into the Pittsburgh Steelers organization. So, all good things from the rookies so far. We also have learned that Benny Snell looks different. He's shaved off 15 pounds or so and is a little slimmer, a little sleeker, maybe a little stronger as well. Who knows how that translates into him being better or more well-suited for the 2020 season, but he at least looks like he is in better shape, I guess, and is kind of following the same timeline and pathway that Le'Veon Bell and James Conner did before him. Eric Ebron, we know, is getting a lot of hype as a pass catcher. Kevin Colbert said he just looks different, and that his pass-catching abilities is something that Ben Roethlisberger hasn't had in a while from the tight end position. We know that Matt Canada's influence is showing up a bit. There have been reports that there's some pre-snap motions, some different formations already in the Steelers' offense. So what happens there, and how does he utilize guys like Anthony McFarland, who's got that elite-level speed? And we know that Bud Dupree is probably in his swan song, that he is holding out for his franchise tag to get more money as a defensive end and not a linebacker. And that hopefully Cam Hayward is not in his swan song as a Pittsburgh Steeler. That hopefully between now and when that ball kicks off next Monday night, the Steelers and Giants, that he's got a new long-term contract. Kevin Colbert was kind of vague about it on Wednesday, but said normally when you have a great player and a team that wants to keep him like we do, things work out in the end. And although it has been dragging on throughout this entire offseason, I still have very little doubts that he'll be brought back for next year. David DeCastro is dealing with some weird absence issues. He hasn't been in practice for a while. I don't know how much of a concern that is. It's hard to tell because we're not getting a whole lot of information on it. Maybe that's something that's the only red flag that I've heard from training camp. Otherwise, it's been a lot of hyping up this offense, hyping up the defense as well, with a lot of returning starters and a lot of speed on defense. And then, of course, the hype with Ben Roethlisberger. That Ben's arm, we know this, hasn't fallen off or hasn't exploded yet. And that is the best news for this season. And so, yes, we haven't been able to tell a whole lot from this training camp, but there are some things. And maybe it's all positive because you just see what happens in practice, and practice is much, much different from the games. But I think overall there is a positive atmosphere around this team to know that, hey, maybe we can win 10 games, get into the playoffs, who knows from there. So we'll see how that all plays out as this thing goes along. All right, let's wrap up the show on a Friday with this.
Gone in 40 seconds. One last 40-second take to send you into the rest of the morning on the early morning show. Sports Radio 93.7, The Fan.
Hey, I'll keep the theme alive. We are almost here. We've made it. We're wrapping up the last week in the calendar without football for hopefully a long time. Long into the fall months, past the holiday season in the winter months, and into February. We won't be going through a time without football as sports fans. And man, do we need some football. Not only for the elite level entertainment, but just for the routine of it. Something familiar, something structured, and normal looking that we can enjoy again. This time next week, we'll be in an NFL game in, and we're looking forward to a jam-packed weekend. Let's go. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet and McMurray. The sun is shining on budget-friendly deals with 32 new and used vehicles under $19,996. Today, pleasant and less humid with times of sun and clouds, a high of 78. And then tonight, mainly clear and a low of 54. Enjoy your weekend. The pre-show is next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.